So welcome back to the second hour of the Drum Bass Break radio show on Salto Amsterdam with Credo, Morty, Trademark and our special guest this week, all the way from Jamaica, Spiky T.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fuck one.
So how should we start? Should we start firing the questions to our guest?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready to take them. Come on, let's have it. I've got to warn you guys that I'm a little bit sweary, so
that's okay. We are allowed. Salto Amsterdam is very inclusive and can understand, and we are very happy actually to have their support.
Thanks for that.
So I'll start just asking a very generic question about everything that has happened, the protests, the racism, the thoughts, the ideas, the hype on socials, and now we have forgotten. What are your thoughts and feelings of what has happened so far? Spiking.
My thoughts and feelings. Well, the voice has been out there for quite some time, but it's been ignored. And it always takes something drastic for anyone to really listen to anything. And unfortunately, another person had to die, you know? And to highlight what the authorities are allowed to do to certain people. And it's not just black people, you know what I mean? It's poor people, working class people. But the focus, quite rightly, is on the injustices that black people suffer and the fact that we are profiled. And immediately, we're criminals to some people. We're tired of that. We're really tired of that. So I'm glad that Black Lives Matter exists, because it gives us a platform to actually have our voices heard. And now this is the moment to use that platform in its rightful way.
But based on what you say, actually, I'm just jumping on the next question, which is, okay, there is a major thing that need to happen and that make us address the matter. We are in 2020. Mm-hmm. All these major things have happened throughout the century, 20th century, beginning of 1900, based on the historical facts. So why is this now again being discussed? Why do we still expect for something major to happen to again discuss about this and still have no solution to the problem?
Well, I think it comes down to, it goes systemic, as we know, and it starts from school, because when we're at school, the history we're taught is that the white Anglo-Saxon man went everywhere and was all conquering and the superior to everybody with everything that he brought. And it's a lie. So if you're going to tell people that, and if you're going to tell a section of society that they're more important than people their whole lives, then they're going to believe that. But in my experience, because I went to school in an Anglo-Saxon society, so...
Of course, you're London-born.
Yeah, I'm London-born, so that's what a lot... I'm looking at the way we've responded to the Black Lives Matter movement in London. Mm-hmm. Our struggle is different to the American struggle. It's 100 times worse than what we've gone through, man. And they're still going through. We identify with that, you know, stop and search laws, sus laws, and we're just crime suspects anyway, regardless of what job we do. You could be in a shirt and tie going to work and still getting stopped.
So if you look at the things that happened in the like last 10 to 20 years, do you think there's any improvement, or is it become worse even, maybe?
I think there's been a lot more lip service paid to the problem, but in actual terms of real change, no, because people are still being held back from certain positions in life. You know, we're still more likely to go to prison for something that somebody else wouldn't go to prison for, and all those other things that we've been trying to highlight for years and not been heard.
Now it's heard, you know, we want to make it out and let all people know that this is a big issue. And to be honest, you know, I cannot understand your feelings sometimes, because, you know, I'm from a different color, and I cannot imagine how you must feel like sometimes in your life. And it just, when I think about it, it just makes me cry, you know, and sad. And
you know, the fucked thing about it is, it's like, you would just say, oh, used to it. But that's some shit to get used to, right?
Yeah, man.
And that sums up actually those two first questions from me and Trademark. It's like, I started from the 20th century. Trademark asked about the 10-20 years. Last 10-20 years, has anything changed? So basically to those both questions, because this is what is aggravating me from a historical point of view, nothing has really changed, because now we are in 2020 and we're still having
to shout this, you know, come on, right? You know, we just want a fair shake. You know, you fucked us over in the first place and took us out of where we lived for whatever reasons. And, you know, there's people going to go, yeah, but, you know, Africans into slavery. You gave some of your people away to these people. You know, what are you going to do that when there's a tribal war and you don't want to fight no one anymore and there's a fucking out where you don't have to kill no one?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You mean you can take those people off our hands and we ain't got to do this? No. Fucking have them.
I'm not gonna do my question now. I'm just gonna leave the floor to Morty and Trademark to actually do the next question. But the question I have in mind, I will ask it at the end.
Okay.
All right,
that's
cool.
The argument that people throw that, you know, black people gave black people away. Yeah, fuck off. If there was no actual enticement for them to do that, then it wouldn't have happened. If they didn't come there with the idea of this is what we're going to do to these people and trick them and so on and so forth, it would never have happened. Why are we in this position?
Just your analysis of what happened that brought us here and why we are still talking about now.
Past, present, future.
But when you look at the past, present and the future, who's the engineer of all this stuff and who are the recipients of the treatment? It's, you know what I mean? It's not...
I want to hear your full view, and we really want to be very raw in this radio show.
Well,
and in our objective, actually.
It's all right. Right. African people didn't ask to be brought from Africa in the conditions that they were brought in.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't ask for that. Didn't ask for the middle bit. Yeah, didn't ask for the slavery bit and the so-called emancipation bit.
Mm-hmm.
Building of the country and the unfair treatment. And to present day, we haven't asked to be shot, murdered and imprisoned and all the rest of it by a system that was not put in place by any of us, you know? So why we're still talking about it is because we still don't have keys to the kingdom. We don't have any, you know, enough numbers in the upper seats of power to really represent the voice.
So the real integration, basically, systemic never integration, happened. Never happened.
It's non-entity.
Very good point, actually.
Here's Reminiscence, a tune by Spiky T and A-Sides from Spiky T's album Between Wake and Sleep.
I'm happy.
Trademark, Morty.
Yeah, I'm totally silenced by all the words, you know. It's such a big thing, and it's good we're talking about it. And I have some questions as well, of course. And we talked a bit earlier about this, and we had a real good conversation. And I asked you how is racism in Jamaica. Well, you answered that. So, the classism you told me, police brutality.
Yeah, there's no racism. There's, you know, black people can't be racist against black people. So there's a load of black people. So there's a classism and there's colorism. You know, the lighter shade of skin you are, they think you're going to get something. Well, there's not really any opportunities here to get for that skin lightening thing to make any difference. So
based on the history, though, if we go not in Jamaica, but if we go down to South Africa, where the Belgians and King Leopold, am I saying this? Yeah, right. The second one, right? Am I having my... Yeah.
Leopold was a wicked man.
So you just said that a black man cannot be racist towards black man. But no. Down in South Africa, when they were divided in tribes, they ended up killing each other because of the way they were divided.
That's not racism, though, is it?
How do you see that? I'm interested to hear your view.
It's tribes against tribes. Black people. When the Vikings and all that were fighting each other, that wasn't racism. That was just a tribal war.
Mm-hmm. You know, so okay. Don't you think that they contributed, the Westerners, when they went to take over some land and resources? Because at the end of the day, that's what my view was of what happened in history. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe you guys agree or disagree, but don't you think that they were segregated, these people, and they were put in boxes? Because that's what I have learned from my Nigerian Greek friends, for example, that were sharing the story, and I actually managed to enlighten me a bit around that story, is that these people, they were never fighting. There were tribal fights, but they were never really put in that box, the Zulu, the Tutsi, the Hatta, if I'm actually correct with the names. Those were created when the Belgians went and took over South Africa.
Yeah.
And these people started fighting each other because...
Yeah. So you've got a straight nose and you've got a different nose. So you don't go over there. You don't
and you're good with land and the other one is good with their hands and they do other stuff and they're more merchants. Or what's your view about that?
What do you think? What we, you know, what do we know works for these people? Divide and rule, right? That's exactly what it was. Divide everybody, rule them, let them just create, you know, there's differences between them, let those differences be toxic, so on and so forth.
Yeah, that's divide and conquer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I don't know why. There's that kind of programming in that type of person, and I don't understand it because of not being raised in that way to even think of that. So when you come across that, it's like, what are the mechanics of that? What makes you operate like that and makes you think that operating like that is the better way to live? I don't get it. I don't think I'll ever get it. And even
good
if you
point.
Ask that person, I don't even think they could give you a good answer.
And it's cost already a lot of lives.
Yeah, and it's going to keep on costing lives until those people change their way of thinking and their way of living, and it's a long way off.
Yep.
Definitely.
Definitely. Good point. Trademark, you want to ask a question? I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say, if we zoom into the music world, or more specifically the drum and bass scene, do you think racism or the issue of racism is different or more or less than in society as a whole, or compared to society as a whole? With, in other words, is the music world or drum and bass world more inclusive than if you compare to society as a whole? What's your thoughts on that?
I've seen a shift over the, I've seen a massive shift over the last, I don't know, maybe 5 years, 6 years of things being more gentrified and lineups being just getting whiter and whiter, and white MCs and
the music changing, the audience changing. Yeah, black kids don't want to go to drum and bass parties anymore. Black people don't want to go anymore. But it's been overridden by a lot of these middle class kids who are actually afraid of us deep down.
Wow, you see my eyebrows. No, you don't see, but I mean, you see because we're on Skype call, but
the listeners don't.
Yeah, but I did mention that in our last call when we were all four of us together, and
are you going to have a bunch of people dancing to music that's born out of a black culture being racist towards black people?
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. It's like racist skinheads.
Agree.
Listening to ska music and going Zeke Kyle at the end of the dance after they've had a few beers. The hell is that all about?
Agree. And actually, just for the sake of it, because we were talking, all four of us, last time when we were on a really nice conversation about it, is that I met a Suriname guy in Amsterdam who told me that back in the days, talking about the 90s, beginning of 2000, black people here in Holland wouldn't dare to go even if they liked techno, because they would feel so attacked and aggressed that their only escape music was actually drum and bass parties. That's where they felt that they were more included. And now...
And is it like that anymore?
Exactly. And you're talking to... I have to... Sorry, trademark.
One
thing.
Go.
I like my facts. We are three white people. You're talking to three white... Two guys, one girl. But, of course, if we want to address this, it doesn't mean that our skin color doesn't mean that actually we can actually think about the subject and feel bad about what is happening. So I'm just mentioning it because sometimes, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, all of you, sometimes people are like, oh yeah, these white people are talking about it, but what do they do? How do they contribute? This is what we would like to do. This is how we, trademark Morty and myself, Credo, as white people, having always mixed friends, being in the drum and bass, we want to highlight that.
And keep it on repeat as well, you know, don't forget that. Don't shuffle it away after a few weeks, but keep it on repeat and...
Correct.
You know, let it be normal.
And whoever gets caught out, there's been a lot of people being caught out for being racist right now.
Yeah.
Lots of people, and some of the things that people say...
Trademark also is one.
Yeah.
They just need to be frozen out and never dealt with again, you know? And if they want to do their own little racist drum and bass parties, they can have them. But we just don't need them around. You know, what's the whole ethos? Peace, love, unity and respect. So they've shattered that right now. They've not only shattered it, they've shat on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. You cannot be around black people. You know, using black people's vernacular, Caribbean vernacular, not just Jamaican stuff, but stuff from all over the Caribbean. Trying to swagger, you know, all that. Turn on the blackness. But then when it comes to it, you don't like black people, really? And then you're upset because black people want their voices heard? And then you start saying all this out of order stuff? Man, you need to move yourself. You need to move and move fast. Because if people see you in a dance and they know it's you, and they know that you've got this attitude, look, I think, like I said to someone the other day, we need to take the keys back, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they, you know, we made this awesome cake. Gave the ingredients, share the ingredients like we always do to everything that we do. We share and we get shat on for it.
It's about love, and that's like you said, and then you get shat on.
Thank you. Come on, man. You like this? Yeah, man, wicked. But it's just not, it just doesn't seem to be reciprocated. And it's horrible.
if you look at all the shit that has been outed in the last few weeks, also the whole thing with Hospital and Chris in perspective, what do you think? What are a few key things that drum and bass professionals should do to fix the things in the scene?
I think this is a nice bridge to exactly what I was thinking. Thank you, Trademark. Spikey, over to you.
Well, look, there's a lot of new labels.
Should we, sorry to interrupt, should we give a little bit for the listeners a little bit of background of what we're actually talking about? Because we have people in the car listening to Salto, listening to the drum and bass break on Sunday from 10 till 12. And we are now with Spikey T talking and tackling racism. How can we solve this issue? And we're talking about something that happened in the drum and bass scene very recently with a very known old legend, Chris in Perspective, who was pulled in the project to make some old school reggae remixes by drum and bass producers. Am I putting it right?
Yeah.
From Hospital Records, a very renowned and very known UK-based label. Now, bottom line, and to come back to you and give you the floor, sorry, I'm just making the background information for the listeners, is that there was an 18-track album of remixes produced based on reggae music done by only one black guy. Is this correct?
That's correct, yeah.
All the others were shut down.
Yeah.
And Chris was fighting for this project to have more black producers involved in it over 2 years. And every turn he made to try and make this happen, he was met with some fuckery excuse.
Mm-hmm.
How can you do that? How can you go into the reggae archives? Yeah? Make a remix album with one of the iconic reggae labels and not have a stable of black producers on it when you've got people like Digital. Do you know what I mean? Who bend up that music left, right and centre. You know, you've got so many black producers, so many black-owned labels. So
also female.
You know, fucking, not even someone like Remark, for God's sake. You know, someone like Miss Isis from America. Do you know what I mean? There's a whole, as Flight, there's so many black women.
Flight, Congonati, there was also Angela within Congonati, who was a Greek black girl from what I know. Like, how things you have these people involved?
I really don't know. And why do you think I started my mix with the Congo Native tune? Because Congo Native is like the thing that pushed every, you know, jungle sound over the top. So you've got to pay respect to Congo Native. And he didn't even ask anyone from there.
Yeah.
It's right. So rude.
Yeah, that's rude.
I'm wondering if Terry T, did he say anything about it?
No, look, you can't. My cat's going mad under my feet right now.
Very good. This is a live interview for the Drum Bass Break radio show on Salto Amsterdam. We have Spikey T with us, Trademark and Morty, and your cat.
And my cat, Elsa.
And your cat,
big
Elsa.
Elsa.
Is she a drum bass cat also?
She's
races.
A bass cat. I've actually put a couple of posts up when I was doing a mix about a month ago. She's on my feet. She loves. Whenever I do a mix, man, she comes and sits at my feet every time.
Nice one.
Nice company.
Take. That takes us to the next question, I suppose. Who wants to do the next question?
I think I wanna shoot.
Yeah. Do it, Martin.
What do you think the main influences are for racism? You know, like the main things to keep racism alive as it is. You know.
People. Basically.
People.
And the way people are taught, the way people teach their little ones to keep this shit up.
Yeah.
There's people that are full of hate that teach pure people, you know, pure beings that come into this planet with nothing in them. You're a blank canvas when you're born, so how the fuck can you be racist? You've got to be taught that shit.
Okay, so people, you were talking about systemic, so education?
But then you've got to change the education system, because the education system teaches you that the white man is superior to everybody. Yeah. When everybody tell you that they brought disease, they tell you that they raped everyone and fucking did all this terrible shit, and tell you none of that in history class, do they?
How about
civilized the savages is what I was told.
How about art also? So education is one art.
Yeah, well,
how many influences?
It's a form of art as well.
So many things. A lid was put on it. The achievements of so many different civilizations were diminished, and in the education system that, you know, my siblings and many of my peers went through, were taught the same thing. So what like I said earlier, what are we going to do if we're taught that, if that's what we're taught as the truth?
Yeah.
You know,
and
so
if it keeps on repeating then everybody believes it.
So as we've got access to more truthful information, why isn't that in the curriculum?
So that's an interesting question. I'm sorry, I'm going a little bit out of the questions that we had already put together, Trademark and Morty. It just came to my head because we just talked about education. You are London-based, you were London-born. Mm-hmm. Your schooling was done in the UK, right, Spikey?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Greek-based. I was originating in Greece. I was born in Greece. I did my education in Greece. And Trademark and Morty, they are Dutch. They did their education here in Holland.
Correct.
Correct.
Thank you. Now, when I was listening, and I'm not saying that my education was correct, unbiased. I'm not saying anything. I'm not taking part. I'm just trying to understand how the history books for you as a black person in a UK-based school were actually working for you.
They weren't.
What was it?
Because we weren't taught about other civilizations in the positive light, really, when I check it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Alexander the Great was a barbarian, pretty much. He went on this, you know, crusade, but he was killing loads of people, but they didn't say anything about the Christian crusades. When we were told about that, it was all puritanical and stuff, but none of the evil deeds were ever spoken about. It was all, I don't know, what, for want of a better word, whitewashed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Interesting.
Agreed.
Just told that how great they were, and we were told about, you know, the Industrial Revolution in England and British history, but just from their viewpoint.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, like, I don't know, like, for you going to school,
I also got taught that the Dutch school, that Holland was, you know, superior, golden century. And the only thing about like slavery is that the information you get when it was like banished, you know, not what it did to people or societies or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was only like, it was banished in, well, some years.
Yeah.
That's it, you know. And it was not told about what it did with everything, you know. It's fucked up the whole future, you know.
I remember being taught the slavery, about slavery in school, and it made me angry.
Yeah,
because, you know, we got shown pictures of the slave ships and the way the people were packed in, and it made me think about the rough sea, the sickness, and all that. Do you know what I mean? And the fear in the bottom of that ship.
Damn.
Oh my God, it made me so fucking angry.
Yeah.
And for a moment, I stopped liking white people. I only had one white friend. One white person I could really call a friend, who's still my best mate to this day. And then they put roots on the, and then put roots on the table.
Yeah. I was like,
my mate Chris. that made when they put roots on the telly, that made us even more militant when we saw what they did to us. And they chopped off Kunta Kinte's toes because he couldn't fucking run away anymore. And they whipped him until he accepted his anglicized name and stuff like that. It made us angry.
It's really good you're saying this because, as white people in UK going to school, they think, of course, they're superior, and you say you got aggressive. And like we said some minutes ago, or the beginning of this conversation, it's about dividing and conquering. You know, as long as the people are distracted and in conflict with each other, then, you know, things can happen for people who want to control the world, right?
Yeah.
I want to listen a bit of Trademark. What was your experience, Trademark, at school?
Yeah, I think more or less the same as Morty's. The subject is touched on, but more or less as a side subject. And I think the Dutch government was pretty much into slavery, and we sold and bought a lot of slaves. But that part of the history was a bit like you said before, it was whitewashed. You don't hear as much as you should about this in our educational system. So yeah.
The Boston Tea Party, like they went there and got a tea with people. I fucking lied in my blood clot, excuse me, lied in my tongue. Tea party. We went there and we landed and we had tea with the next alive.
Cup of tea. What?
We gave them blankets with smallpox and we killed them and raped their women. That's what you did. We took everything. Like, you know, when they went to Australia and said there was nobody there, only plants.
Of course, it was only prisoners that they brought back in New Zealand and Australia from the UK, right?
Yeah, so, you know, that kind of wickedness, you know, it's centuries old.
Yeah. And actually, sorry guys, just a parenthesis. Right.
That's what we're fighting against, centuries old racism, centuries old.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to transport this, and I'm sorry, it's off topic, but it just makes me think as a parallelism of back in the days and so many centuries ago, they would go conquer, take the resources and bring those people in a boat to take them to another land. For example, the Africans, the Indonesians, the Indians that were brought from
whoever they wanted.
From the Dutch, from the Dutch, they were brought into Suriname. I'm talking from a Greek perspective nowadays, transposing it, that the Americans, the Greeks, the French, the Italians, call them how you want, they go to Afghanistan, they go to Syria, they go to Iraq, they go to Kuwait, but these people, they actually need to find their own way through the seas in boats that might actually cost their lives. Don't you find that a bit weird? As a parallelism?
Well,
they don't have to pay for those boats anymore. That's where I'm trying to get to. I'm sorry.
Well, as a parallelism, I don't really know how to equate that with what's going on right now, because of the way things are set up. And
because that creates racism also. Look at how immigrants are being viewed when they arrive with a boat in Italy, in Greece, in Spain, in Malta. The Dutch, they don't want them.
The system has always existed. So, you know, it's not really a parallel. It's, you know, it's I don't know.
It's just the same thing repeated.
It's just the same thing, it's the same thing.
That's interesting, and that's very deep, guys, actually.
You know, because if it's creating racism, racism is racism.
Yeah.
There is of course, prejudice.
We all come from somewhere else. Yeah. Countries, those are countries that are made up of people from different places.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even the original inhabitants came from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We're all immigrants, we're all aliens.
I agree.
You guys were all alien to me before I met you.
You were also an alien. Who knows?
I'm a proper alien. I'm quite tired.
So,
<What?
laughs>
I
I think we're going towards the end of the interview. What do you think, guys? I think I have one major question. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Shoot, question. Please.
Trademark?
No, go ahead. Go.
Yeah? So, what I would like to understand is, how can we finish with this virus? How can we eradicate it? Because obviously there is no vaccine that can be produced to be injected in people's minds. So how do we actually solve the problem? I'm fed up of being 2020, technologically advanced, and we're all being bothered and talking about the subject still. What can be done?
I would say, again, I'd go back to education.
Mm-hmm.
People, not just education, but personal education. People teaching each other about the cultures, other people really wanting to know. Tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more tolerance. And
how do you get to tolerance, though?
Both sides need to turn the volume down.
So respect. No?
The extreme left and the extreme right need to turn the volume down to find the balance, to hear each other, to find the balance. Otherwise, we're just going to keep shouting at each other and nothing's going to get solved. And the people in the middle are just going to be covering their ears because they're sick of hearing it.
Yeah.
So, and it seems to be a bit of a crime to want to be in the middle and have that balance.
I agree. You know, I'm a balanced person, always like to start the discussion in the middle rather than from the extremes.
Extremes, yeah. We don't get anywhere from the extremes, man. And I think that's the problem of the world now. The extremes have the loudest voices.
And do you think that also the fact that black people now that are raising their voices saying we need to be heard and we need to be understood and we need to actually maybe come together and do something. Do you think that this creates a feeling to the white people that they are going to be on an apartheid and being excluded? How do you feel about that?
The ones that are racist are feeling that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah.
Because it upsets
their
appetite.
That's facts.
Yeah, the ones that are, look how many white people are standing together. Look how many white people have all stood together with us for many a year, knowing that shit is fucking imbalanced. You know, this is the moment that we got. This can't be a flashpoint. I'm saying this is the moment for all of us to make it count, because we've been out in our lives saying this is unfair, and they've been telling us no, it isn't. You're paranoid. You're this. You're that. You know what I mean? Why are you getting angry? Why are you, you know, treating us like the angry black man or the angry black woman? When all we want to be is heard, but we have to keep dying to be heard, and that is not on anymore.
Well said.
And gladly, as I said earlier, unfortunately, another black man has had to die for the world to finally say, we got to do something about this, we got to fucking stop. You know, when we have said something about this, we've been cowed down. Pretty much all the time, you know.
The words
are normally, you guys should get over it. Or you try and get over it.
Or there was a protest and there was again a big hype on Facebook, and then after 1-2 weeks, gone.
I don't think it's going to be like that. There's too much at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Can't just go away. If it goes away, we're dead in the water.
Not anymore.
So, we're almost at the end. We just we listened to your nice little mix, special mix on the first hour. We listened to your great views and input about racism during the second hour. We're almost at the end. And what is happening with Spiky T as an artist?
Well, the album's out.
Yeah. Again, the name of the album?
The album is called Between Wake and Sleep. And it's out on Tokyo Dawn Records, based in Munich. Obviously, there's no shows happening because the world is shut down. But I've been working on a few D&B things. I've just got back on the horse, actually, because I haven't made any tunes for months, because I've been out in Jamaica preparing myself for my post-COVID life. I'm getting into tourism because I've got some property out here and I'm building some holiday homes. Out of containers.
Big plans. We'll keep everyone updated on that.
Yeah, cheers, man. And I'm looking like I'm going to be on TV for it as well. So
that's going to be with?
That's going to be
with. RTL, there's a program called Goodbye Germany, because two of my German mates are involved in the project. So they're going to be filming our progress over 2 years. That's what we're negotiating at the moment. So.
Oh, we're going to waiting for that. As soon as it's done, you let us know.
Yeah, you know, once the contract's signed, then, you know, it's all good to go. I'll make it proper public. But it's pipelining right now.
Perfect. Nice one.
You know, when these things are thrown on us, you know, life has to change drastically. You can't panic. You've got to, if you've got plans, you should try and execute them.
And and also in times of crisis, there is always opportunities. This is why we need to have our eyes open.
Always eyes, ears, hearts, minds open.
Stand up.
Yeah, man.
Speak up.
Stand firm in the Gideon, as the Rasta man said.
Nice one.
Good way.
Do you want to do a nice little outro for our at the end of the drum bass break radio show on Salto Amsterdam? We're almost at the end. Spiky T.
Speak up.
Who do an outro?
You.
Me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, you lovely people. You have been listening to, was it drum and bass? What is it?
Drum and bass break. It's your drum and bass break.
I nearly said drum and bass Amsterdam. Are you listening to drum and bass break on Salto NL by these three awesome human beings, Trademark, Credo, and the man,
Morty.
Morty. I nearly called you Morty. 45 for some reason. I don't know why.
It's all good, brother.
Are you good? Don't mortify people out there on the decks, mate. Rub them up nice with some fucking beautiful drum and bass vibes that we love so much.
Yes,
drum and bass. Nice one. And we cannot wait to see you again live in our studio, like we saw you last August in 2019.
That
was so much, man.
Hopefully I'll have some new things to play, and you know, things will keep going nicely for us all.
I'm sure for that.
Let's keep our voices up there, man. Let's keep them up.
Exactly. Right. So what's happening next week, Trademark? We have another
special guest, and that's a good friend of yours.
Yes, this is
by the name
Chidi Nwosu. And she's representing her own company, Chi and D Productions. And she's happy to come and join us and be on a call just like tonight, Spiky, and talk about and debate with us actually about what can be done and how we can tackle this virus called racism.
Right.
I'm going to do my best to check that one out because we need to listen to each other, you know?
I like it.
To get some cohesion and traction, we really need to listen to each other.
Yeah. Nice one. Big up. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Spiky.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Spiky. Thanks for having me, guys. And
we'll see you next week.
You're more than welcome.
Yes. Thank you. It's a blessing to be able to talk about this stuff because we don't, like I said, we want to be heard. So the more outlets, the better.
We're going to be consistent. Take care, guys.
All right. Speak soon. Take care.
Speak soon.
Ciao.